Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. My message title this morning is, Be Filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read verses 17 and 18. Let's stand once again and stretch our legs, if you're able to, that is. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verses 17 and 18. I'll read verse 17. If you would join with me, let's read together verse 18, and then I will pray. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 17 reads, Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide our thoughts, O God. Guide our minds. Help us to be receptive to your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I've said, our yearly theme this year is a charge to live the Christian life with God's supernatural power. This is normal spirituality. It was Andrew Murray who rightly said, there is a deep feeling abroad that the scriptural ideal, that Christ's own promise of what the church should be, and its actual state do not correspond. And how true that is. We have settled for a lower grade of Christian living on the whole. In fact, we live abnormally from God's perspective, and yet we see nothing wrong with it, and we just see it as just normal Christian living. Living one's Christian life under the dominion of the power of God's Holy Spirit is normal Christian living. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49, the Lord Jesus promised power to his disciples. He said, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Lord Jesus promised power for his disciples. To what end? That you and I might live and serve God effectively. Jesus Christ promised an unparalleled Christian experience on this earth. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord Jesus said, I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. This is the Spirit-filled life. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible teaches us that we are not to be unwise, but we are to be wise by understanding what is the will of the Lord. And verse 17 leads on to verse number 18, clearly revealing to us what is the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is not to be intoxicated with alcohol, like many have been over this holiday season. And I trust you have not been one of them. But the will of the Lord is to be filled with the Spirit. And verse 17 clearly spells out that it is unwise not to understand and fulfill the will of God. My friend, this morning as we unveil our yearly theme, the Bible promises you and I power. The power of God to live out the Christian life. And Jesus Christ not only promised life eternal, but He also promised life abundant. An abundant Christian life. If you would take your Bible, please, and go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And we find the Lord Jesus illustrating for us the Spirit-filled life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. The Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. The Bible reads, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Note verse 39, please. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus stood to his feet and cried out with urgency and gave the invitation to all that are thirsty to come unto him and drink of that living water. And then the Lord Jesus said, "For those that will believe on Jesus Christ, they shall receive the Holy Spirit." And the presence of God's Holy Spirit is illustrated for us in verse 38, where the Lord Jesus said, "Out of that individual, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." My friend, this is the Spirit-filled life. It is for all God's people, men, women, and children. It is the will of God that you and I be filled with the Spirit. To live my Christian life under the complete control of the Holy Spirit. And experience His supernatural power working in and through me. That is to be filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, in whose strength? In whose strength have we lived out 2010? I think if the truth be known for all of us, there have been times that we have lived out or sought to live out the Christian life in our own strength. Let's determine in 2011 to be filled with the Spirit. And to live our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. and experience His supernatural power working in us and through us. This is what the Lord Jesus offered every born-again child of God. And He illustrates that here in John chapter 7, verse 38, that from His inner being, out of His belly, His inner being, shall flow rivers, plural. Not just river, rivers, rivers of living water, pure water, purified water, life-giving water, rivers of living water. This should be the experience, the daily experience of the child of God. This is normal Christian living, brethren, to be filled with the Spirit and to live out one's Christian life not in our own strength, but in the power of God. Where God's power is a reality in your life and in my life. And I would dare say for the average Christian, he or she lives out the Christian life in their own strength. That's why we fail. That's why we get discouraged. That's why we get distracted. And that's why the statistic is so true that the average Christian will spend no more than 2 years in church. And I would dare say the reason being is because many of God's people, though very sincere, have sought to live the Christian life without the power of God. And I'd like to charge you, church family, in 2011, be filled with the Spirit. Men, be filled with the Spirit. Ladies, be filled with the Spirit. Children, this is not just for mum and dad, this is for you, especially you teenagers. Be filled with the Spirit. We need to live out this life, this Christian life, with God's strength, with God's power. Thereby we will be more fruitful and more productive for God's glory, and from our very being shall flow rivers of living water. I'd like for us to note this morning, bearing in mind that it is the will of God that you and I are filled with the Spirit, I'd like for us to note some foundational teachings, foundational truth that must be understood if we're going to be filled with the Spirit. I'd like you to take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 John. We've been in the Gospel of John. Let's go to 1 John this morning. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. If your Bible does not have this verse, you need to throw that book in the bin and buy a real Bible. Amen. This verse here is absolutely foundational concerning the fact that God is three in one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." The Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, referred to as the Word here in verse 7, and we know from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, the Word is God and the Word became flesh, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Bible teaches us these three are one. Concerning foundational truth that we must understand, if we are going to be filled with the Spirit in 2011, foundational truth number one, listen carefully, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is one with God the Father. He is one with God the Son. And the Bible teaches here very clearly, these three agree in one. The Holy Spirit is God. He is called God. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, please. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 verses 3 and 4, the Bible teaches, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Note the next phrase. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So the Bible here in Acts chapter 5 calls the Holy Ghost God. He is God as God the Father and God the Son. He is called God. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, he was involved in creation. In Job chapter 33 verse 4, the Bible reads, listen carefully, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Job understood that the Holy Spirit is Creator God. In Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. This is foundational teaching that we must understand. If we are to be filled with the Spirit, we need to understand the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He is called God. He is involved in creation. But also here in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14, note, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Note the Spirit, capital S, eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit was involved in creation with God the Father, with God the Son. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That means He is all present. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? The psalmist understood that I cannot possibly hide from the presence of God's Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit, He is God. He is called God. He is eternal. He is our Creator. He is omnipresent. He is also omniscient. That is, He knows all things. If God be God, then God knows all. There are no surprises to God. There are no surprises. First Corinthians, please, chapter 2. First Corinthians, chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Bible teaches us that God, the Holy Spirit, is all-knowing. And of course, the Bible teaches us that God, the Holy Spirit, is all-powerful. That's why the Lord Jesus said to his disciples there in the book of Luke, chapter 24, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, the power of the Holy Ghost. My friend, the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit is 100% God, just as God the Father, just as God the Son. He is God. He is called God. He is Creator. He is eternal. He is all-present. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. God, the Holy Spirit, is eternal God. Do we honor Him as God? Ananias and Sapphira did not honor Him as God. And they were judged accordingly. Be filled with the Spirit entails the teaching that we are to be controlled by not a force, not an energy, by God the Spirit Himself. And this leads us to my second main point this morning concerning foundational teaching that we must understand if we are to be filled with the Spirit. Lesson number one, the Holy Spirit is God. Lesson number two, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has personality as God the Father and God the Son. And when Simon Peter rebuked Ananias and Sapphira, there in Acts chapter 5, he challenged them concerning the fact that they have lied to the Holy Ghost. And then he went on to say, you have lied to God. This couple lied to the person of God. They did not lie to energy. They did not lie to force. I once had a red-headed JW at my door many, many years ago. And she was a true redhead. She tried to convince me that the Holy Spirit is not God and that He does not have personality. And as she stood at the door, I switched the light on and I pointed to that light in my main lounge area. And I said to this woman, can you lie to that? Can you lie to energy? She said, don't be ridiculous. You can't lie to energy. You can only lie to people. Oh, she wasn't impressed. Packed up a little bag and she marched away, never to see her again. See, the Holy Spirit is God. He has personality. You cannot lie to an energy. You cannot lie to force. The Bible teaches us that God the Father is personal. God the Son is personal. And God the Holy Spirit is also personal. And the Bible teaches us, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. His names imply personality. In John chapter 16, he's referred to as the Comforter. And if we had time, we'd go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and following. It makes reference to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and the list goes on. Eight qualities are mentioned, the fruit of the Spirit. Each of these qualities stem back to a personality. Only a personality can be joyful. This light cannot be joyful. It cannot express love. It cannot convey peace. It cannot convey gentleness. It cannot control itself. It needs to be controlled by another. The fruit of the Spirit is, and each of those qualities imply personality. God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. In Matthew chapter 28, when the Lord Jesus commissioned his disciples, and he said to his disciples, "For those that you win, I want you to baptize them in the name." In the name of the Father. Personality. In the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Ghost. See? Personality. Person. He is personal God. He is eternal. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. My Bible teaches me, be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. Speech is a mark of personality and intelligence. Scientists can do all they will to try to get a monkey to speak, but in vain. People speak. That's a mark of intelligence. The Holy Spirit speaks, conveying his personality. Listen carefully, Revelation 22, verse 17. The Bible reads, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks. He invites men, women, and children to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and have that thirst quenched in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He speaks. Speech is a mark of personality and intelligence. He is God. He is not divided up into portions. His power is part of his divinity and his personality. The Bible teaches us, be filled with the Spirit. And last but not least this morning, the third truth that I'd like for us to note concerning the Holy Spirit. And this truth is foundational to the mandate to be filled with the Spirit. And that is, the Holy Spirit dwells in the life of every born-again Christian. The Holy Spirit dwells in the life of every born-again Christian. John chapter 8, please. Pardon me, John chapter 3, verse 8. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Verse 8, the Bible here teaches that the Holy Spirit is involved in salvation. The Bible teaches us that we are born again by the Spirit. Note there at the end of verse 8, it reads, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in conversion. What the Bible refers to as salvation. An individual is born again with the Scriptures, the truth of God, and this transaction takes place when a person acknowledges their need of a Savior and they believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and they repent of their sin, and by faith they receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It is the Holy Spirit of God that performs that salvation work. It's the Holy Spirit of God that converts men, women, and children to Jesus Christ. We are born of the Spirit of God. We are born again in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And my friend, let me ask you this morning, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you received God's salvation? When a person repents and by faith receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. You're not born again by water baptism. You're not born again by confession. You're not born again by a moral life. It's the Holy Spirit of God that takes the truth of the Word of God. And when the truth of the Word of God is brought before a sinner, and that sinner acknowledges that they need a Savior, and they believe the gospel that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. And upon that belief, they repent. And by faith, receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. The Holy Spirit does that work of conversion in the heart of that individual. We are born from above. That's why the Lord Jesus said, except the man be born again. Born from above. He's referring to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be born again by God's Holy Spirit. And for a person that has been born again, they have the privilege of God's Spirit within them. Romans chapter 8, please. I'm almost there. Bear with me. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit dwells in the life of every born-again Christian. Note what the Bible teaches here in Romans chapter 8. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now note this next little phrase. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at verse 11, please. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You. Are you convinced? Look at verse 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Listen carefully. The Bible teaches very clearly that upon receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit not only performs that transaction, converts me, makes me a child of God, but also the Holy Spirit comes and He indwells my life. As God's affirmation that I am settled for eternity, a child of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And the Bible teaches very clearly, if you have not the presence of God's Holy Spirit in you, then you do not belong to God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit lives in me as a Christian. Think about that. The truth be known, for most of us, we live out our lives as if the Spirit of God doesn't even exist. The last verse I'd like to look at is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies your body, my body, as a born again Christian, is the dwelling place of God. Not a force, not an energy, but eternal God, all-present God, all-knowing God, all-powerful God, Creator God, personal God, has chosen to live in me. And to live in you as a Christian. And brethren, this morning, if we are to be filled with the Spirit, we must understand the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is personal. And he lives in you as a Christian. But if he does not, then you need to become a Christian. It's as simple as that. Could you imagine two people living in a house with the following scenarios? Scenario number one, they did not realize that somebody else was living in the same house. Scenario number two, they live totally separate lives and the house is just simply a transfer station. Scenario number three, there's conflict between the two individuals within this house because they're squabbling concerning who owns what. And in fact, each owner is saying, no, this belongs to me. But the other owner is saying, no, 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 it all belongs to me. No, 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 it's all mine, it all belongs to me. No, you don't have it right, it belongs to me. But I was here first, that doesn't matter. No, it all belongs to me now. Could you imagine two individuals living in a house with absolutely no consideration concerning the values, the tastes, the routines of that other individual? May I submit to you, Christian, this morning, the Holy Spirit indwells every Christian. For most of us, we don't even realize he's there. Oh, somebody else lives in this house. I didn't know. Well, I had my suspicions, but that's what the average Christian is like. And the average Christian ignores the Holy Spirit. The average Christian doesn't understand the fact that we have been bought with a price, and therefore, hey, this home is not ours. It belongs to another. And last but not least, the average Christian lives out their life with no regard, no consideration to how the Holy Spirit of God feels and thinks about what we do, what we don't do. My friend, this morning, the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. He indwells the life of every believer. The Bible teaches us that we need to understand what is the will of God. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible teaches us it is the will of God to be filled with the Spirit. You'll never accomplish that unless we understand some foundational teaching. Who is the Spirit? It's God. He's personal. He has feelings. He has desires. And the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, lives in me. Lives in you as a Christian. But most of us live out our lives as if he doesn't even exist. Imagine having a flatmate that you completely ignored, that you can completely disregard of their likes, dislikes. Could you imagine living that way? Well, that's how most of us live as Bible-believing Christians, if the truth be known. But let's change that in 2011. Let's begin by acknowledging his presence, his person, his divinity in our lives. And from here, we'll move on and see from the Scriptures how we can be filled with the Spirit and live in the power of God. Let's be upstanding. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My friend, the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we now have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as Bible-believing Christians. I'd like for our pianist to come. I'd like him to play "The Comforter Has Come." In number 249, we had it during the offertory. Please play it quietly in the background, and I'd like you to consider the yearly theme. Christian, I'd like you to consider being wise in 2011 by being filled with the Spirit.